From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of October. It's USDA Report Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the report, the reaction in Chicago. Dan Zwicker will be here from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later on, we'll be joined to take up this cash grain situation and how farmers might view what happened in the USDA reports with Matt Bennett at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll also update you on President Trump's speech last night as it pertains to tax reform. It has to do with the Section 179 that many producers and farmers use when they purchase new and used equipment. More on that as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture updated the world agricultural supply and demand estimates and the crop production numbers for both corn and soybeans. This is the way the numbers look now. The carry-in for corn at 2.295 billion bushels. That's what's in the bin this fall. Harvested acres changed. They're at 83.1. That's a bit lower. Yield was raised nearly 2 bushels to 171.8 bushels to the acre. Total production to 14.28 billion bushels with a carry out by the time we get to the end of next year. Remember, right now we're at 2.3 or thereabouts. Next year will be about 2.34 billion bushels. Average cash price, according to the USDA, $3.20 a bushel. For the soybeans, when we rolled the grain stocks forward, we said probably it would be 301 for the carryout for this year, and that's exactly where it ended up. They raised the harvested acres to 89.5 million. They raised total acres, planted acres, to above 90 million. Yield at 49.5, that was down about 0.4 of a bushel. Production at 4.431, and the carryout at 430 million, cash price at 920, if I remember correctly. Total production didn't change, though acreage and yield did change. Wheat at 960 for their carryout this year, and a 460 price there. Now joining us to take a look at these numbers, try to discern what they really do mean, is Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Very well.
So take me through some of the numbers that you found of most interest and why they rallied this. So I'm actually interested to know why you think soybeans rallied, because the carryout ended up the same on that, at 430 million or what we expected, I suppose.
Well, I think the reason that it rallied is because we basically dropped last year's carryout because we knew that was wrong based upon that September 1st stocks report. And that was able to absorb production was pretty much unchanged because of the acreage and yield changes. So the overall carryout came down to 430 rather than 475 is what they had last month. And while that's not a big change, it's closer to 400 than 500 million. And I think the bean harvest is moving along quite nicely seasonally. Beans have a tendency to make a seasonal turn to the upside during the first 10 days or so of October. And I think since the report came out generally supportive, because we have a carryover closer to 400 million rather than 500 million, and then I think the technical buying just came in and just fueled the rally right on up to 26 cents or so higher close. Now looking at the November futures chart, it probably met one of my short-term upside objectives I have kind of talked about over the past 2 to 3 weeks when soybeans started their recovery here out of that August low. Is that we would probably maybe do a 62% retracement of that summer decline, and that 62% retracement is right up against the 999 level or $10 level, and I think today's high was pretty close to like 998 or so. So technically, I think soybeans have met its first objective. I think the way the price action is today, it confirms last week's low was a 16 to 17 week cycle low. That goes back to that June low. So now cyclically, I have to be friendly toward soybeans, I think, as we go on into the winter months. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have a big rally from here until then, but it does tell me that the underlying factor in soybeans, at least at the moment, from a cyclical perspective, is going to be generally supportive as we move into the winter. And the only thing I could really think of is that kind of tells me that the trade may not really get comfortable with the South American crop until we get into the winter months. And that uncomfortable attitude in the trade may allow these soybeans to hold at a much higher level than people would normally have thought with this type of production that we produce this year.
That higher level being where we are now or higher than where we are now?
Where we're at now and maybe even return to above the $10 level. Soybeans, that is where all the shorts are at. I've been saying that all year. I mean, last winter, nearly everybody was advising farmers to sell $10 soybeans because of the profitability factor in them. So farmers did take them up on that. I mean, if farmers have anything that was forward sold, it was in soybeans. And a lot of them maybe took some of these derivative contracts. And if prices reach a certain level, they get doubled up on it. So I think the market is basically going back to those levels that people kind of sold at last winter. And we'll see whether or not we'll be able to go higher much beyond that. But there's no doubt that today's rally, we saw some farmers selling because we were up, 30 cents or so there for a while. And then the market fell back to maybe being up only 20 cents. But then at the close here, we came back and closed there 25, 27 cents higher. So we did see some farmers selling today, I think, on the rally. And that, again, that just tells me that farmers are getting further and further along on their soybean sales, but are probably still dragging their feet on their corn sales.
On the corn side of the ledger, USDA lowered harvested acreage, not a lot, but they did lower it. They did raise yield by 1.9 bushels to the acre, set it at 171.8. That's on the high-end. Trade expectations were 170.1. So it was up 1.9 bushels to the acre, though the total change by the time we get to the ending stocks for 17-18 was only 5 million bushel more than it was last year, from 2.335 billion to 5.5 billion to 2.340. So it was only up 5. That wasn't much a change. Is there any hope for corn? There's a lot of corn out there.
I don't know if there's hope for corn, but I think you have to say today's report is somewhat of a moral victory with that type of yield increase. Now, remember, we lowered the carry-in stocks. The September 1st stocks report indicated that our carryout was not going to be as large. So we did lose some bushels there to offset the yield increase. And then USDA did bump up, I think, demand in one of the factors, either in feed use or something like that, a little bit. So then ending stocks remain unchanged. And I think that in its by itself is a moral victory that ending stocks stay unchanged from a year ago's levels. And so therefore, we should have plenty of room for this crop. And now, technically, your techies are going to be probably a little excited by today's price action in corn because it went down and made a new contract low and finished higher. Now, technically, that is what you call as a key reversal to the upside. Now, what we need to see tomorrow is some follow through on today's advance. and finish out the week higher. We're still a couple pennies or so behind for the week, but if we could go ahead and close out the week higher with a reversal to the upside, I think it would go a long ways in saying that current price levels on corn are at a, I don't know if I'd want to call fair value, but they're at a value that's going to find support. So now the question is, if this is going to be the bottom end of the range of this 345 area, is going to be the bottom end of the range. Now what we should do over the next several weeks is try to find the upper end of the range. So I still think corn is probably in a sideways trading range, but I do think there's reason to believe that we might be able to gain some price strength from current levels of, you know, at least of 20 cents or so, maybe even a little bit more than that. I think a lot of that will probably depend on soybeans, because a lot of today's advance in corn was spillover strength from the soybean complex. But the technicians are going to be generally price supportive on both corn and soybeans today, the way they perform. And I think you will see technical buying come into the market based upon the ideas, especially soybeans, that the seasonal weakness is behind us, and now the seasonal strength is to the upside. Now everybody will have a close eye on what's going on in South America. I guess it's too wet in some areas of Brazil, too dry in other areas of Brazil. So with the La Nina weather pattern in place for the winter, I have a sneaky feeling that we may be talking about Brazilian weather, Brazilian production prospects, just enough to be a generally a supportive factor until the trade gets real comfortable with the crop, and that may not happen until we get into the winter months.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well, Todd.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Just a couple of quick news items for today, since it's a USDA report day. We've got this on the NAS data collection. A new report suggests the Department of Agriculture should develop a new system for gathering information for crop reports and other surveys. USDA contracted with the National Academy of Sciences 3 years ago to audit how USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service collects data. The report highlighted that NAS could make several changes over time to improve the accuracy of its reports, as well as develop guidelines that make data collection more transparent and reproducible. USDA asked the Academy to look at how NAS does county-level crop estimates, as well as cash rent estimates. The report says a vision for NAS in 2025 should focus on changing the Agricultural Statistics Board to models that incorporate multiple data sources. NAS uses multiple data sources through the board. However, the report says the current process is inherently subjective and neither transparent nor reproducible. A USDA NAS spokesman called the report a real opportunity for improvements. And this note, the Department of Agriculture announced this week it would process many pending eligible offers for enrollment in the Conservation Reserve Program. USDA also announced it would suspend accepting most new offers until later in the 2018 fiscal year. All current eligible CRP continuous enrollment offers made through September 30th, 2017, except for those made under the Pollinator Habitat Initiative, will be approved, according to USDA leadership. And that's a quick look at the day's agricultural news. Last night, you probably heard by now that President Donald Trump made a speech about his administration's tax reform plan. He addressed truckers in Pennsylvania. Mr. Trump told the truckers his tax reforms will create American jobs by lowering taxes in several ways.
So to summarize, our plan goes from 8 tax brackets down to 4, expands the zero tax bracket greatly, expands the child tax credit, repeals the estate tax and special interest tax breaks, cuts the corporate tax rate from much more and equal to 35% tax, and brings it all the way down to 20%, and cuts tax rates for small businesses to the lowest level in more than 80 years.
The president also says it will be possible for most Americans to do their taxes on a single sheet of paper. The particulars of the reform would double the standard deduction so that more income is not taxed, with the first $12,000 of income for individuals and $24,000 for married couples being income tax-free. It would consolidate the eight existing tax brackets for income to four brackets, 0, 12%, 25%, and 35%. The child tax credit would expand to benefit more middle-income families and eliminate the marriage penalty, although how this will happen is not outlined. And finally, the reform would create a new $500 tax credit for those caring for an adult dependent. The president last night also mentioned something not in the official release. It's unclear if this is related to the Section 179 deduction and bonus depreciation tax breaks, but that's rather how it sounds.
And that's part of our plan, because companies, in order to compete over the next five-year period, allows our framework, and within our framework, that you write off 100% of the cost of new equipment in the year you buy it. When have you heard that one? That's going to be a big one. That's going to be big.
Bonus depreciation currently allows businesses of all sizes to depreciate 50% of the cost of new equipment acquired and put in service during 2017. It also allows the same deduction for some improvements to real estate. It's scheduled to phase down to 40% in 2018, 30% in 2019. This particular tax break is targeted to large businesses. Now, farmers generally use the related Section 179 deduction, which also accounts for the purchase of used equipment and caps the dollar amount rather than using a percentage. The president's proposal could seek to replace both by combining them into a single deduction, which would sunset in 5 years. Matt Bennett has now joined us. He is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt, we have a lot of talk about first USDA report. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you first look at the report, obviously yield jumps out at you. Corn a little bearish, beans a little bullish. You look closer at the report, subtract a few corn acres, add bean acres. I guess enough people were expecting it, but the beans were a little more robust than what people thought. But in the grand scheme of things, you've got to look at carryout. Obviously, bean carryout going down, big development today, and then corn carryout staying where it was at a 170-180, kind of a win.
Yeah. So, when how much more bullish or friendly should farmers get to the marketplace?
Well, you know, I think that there was a little bit of a gift today for those that have maybe been a little behind as far as their sales go, and you know, I know we've kind of been hoping for this, waiting for this rally, and. So I don't want to get super bullish. You know, technically, obviously, it's a good rally. There's a lot of good things going right now. But if Brazil indeed plants as many more beans as what they're talking about planting, if their weather gets straightened out, then having weather issues in the summer isn't really going to hurt them as much. So, you know, I don't want to think that this market is going to rally forever just because we got a nice report today. Definitely use the strength to lock in some really salty net profit, because with a lot of the producers that are listening to your program, they had really good yields this year to throw with this price.
All right, so the attention should be on South America and the weather there and what happens in Mato Grosso.
Absolutely, and the attention always should be on what can you make on your farm and what today's prices are, because we're in pretty good shape here.
All right, hey, thanks so much, Matt. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds.